Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Amy. Welcome to the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. We're tonight, a night that will go down in history one way or the other. This is the night of the great Ric Flair's final moments in the ring. And at that, I'm going to turn it over to the one and only Stellar Steven. How are you doing tonight, Steve?
Doing great. Looks like a good card tonight. There was a card last night. We also have an excellent guest, pun intended, Mr. Excellent.
I liked it.
Independent wrestler. And we have also our regular co-host, Sinister and Todd Jackson, with us too. Great to have them. But Mr. Excellent, are you ready?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah. I saw you at Classic Pro Wrestling. It seemed like you were cutting some promos ringside. Is there any opponent that you're trying to match up with at some point, maybe Classic Pro or somewhere else?
Well, definitely. I want to showcase my skill set at any promotion on the independent circuit and at Ring of Honor, NXT, and also the WWE and also AEW. Also, there's plenty of competition and great athletes on the independent circuit. Yeah, speaking of Classic Pro Wrestling the other Sunday, there was a few folks there that I wouldn't mind challenging for the title. So I'm trying to go for, you know, the United States title or the heavyweight title, whatever title it is. So I'm willing to work my way up the ranks. So I want people to understand that they better lace up their boots because I'm back. I'm back. I took some time off for a while. You know, I did a lot of karate training, a lot of martial arts training.
Nice.
Got into a few tournaments and also went back to school, finished up a master's degree and a doctor's degree. And so all these things is what
that's awesome, dude.
Being Mr. Excellent is all about, right? So this is what I wanted to do. And the comeback is already here. So I'm here, and I'm here to stay for a while.
That's good to hear. Definitely always good to have a backup plan in case something happens. And I'm interested to hear about your karate experience. We have an MMA-trained wrestler here with Sinister, and he's a BJJ brown belt. And I've kind of been doing a little bit of a grappling and did a little bit of kickboxing too recently. How long have you been doing karate? I'm just going to ask you right now.
Okay, absolutely.
That's interesting.
I've been training in the martial arts ever since I was 8 years old. So I have five black belts.
Oh, yeah.
The third dan in taekwondo, mudokwon taekwondo. I have also a second dan in judokwon taekwondo. And I also have a third dan in hapkido. I have a fourth dan in karate, Shotokan karate. And also I'm a master in the South Shaolin Kung Fu system, the Hung Guard style. So I've been training forever. I've actually won medaled in national championships, taekwondo national championships, and also competed in karate championships and tournament championships, a couple of grand championships in forms, and also in fighting. And I started training in MMA, of course, Japanese jiu-jitsu, who is my
nice
professor. All the grappling arts all the grappling arts, those masters are professors. Professor Maynard's Combat Jiu-Jitsu School. So that's who I've been training under with my jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I do want to ask you, how long you've been doing Hapkido, and can you explain Hapkido and the differences between other martial arts? Because this is, I wasn't even aware about your martial arts background, so I'm definitely glad to ask you about this. Can you explain Hapkido to anyone that is unfamiliar?
Yes, Hapkido is sort of like an inverse. You know, in mathematics, there you know, you have a function, and some of the functions are inverses, right? Well, Hapkido and Aikido is like that, because there was a young man who was orphaned and was adopted or taken in by a Japanese master who mastered Daatsu Aikijutsu, which is a grappling form of Aikido. And then this young boy grew up and, of course, mastered what the Japanese master had taught him, fighting off other other opponents that wanted to challenge the master. The master ended up dying, passing away, and then he went back to Korea, because that's who it was orphaned. The Korean guy went back and took his Japanese took the Japanese name that was renamed. He took back his Korean name, and the style that he learned from the Aikijutsu master, right? He called it Hapkido. Okay, Hapkido. So Hapkido is like a joint manipulation style, like the Shinran Kung Fu style, which is all joint manipulation, and it's illegal in MMA matches. It can't be used. Not supposed to. So it's a very, very – well, jiu-jitsu is a gentle art. When I say gentle art, it means it's controlling you. You're controlling your opponent, which is deadly too, very, very deadly. I have so much respect for the Asian training in the martial arts and have been for so long. So you have joint manipulation, sort of like Steven Seagal. He's a Aikido grandmaster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his martial arts in the movies, his movies are actually looking like Hapkido. Hapkido is smoother and more fluent, if you will. Hapkido is fluent and smooth too, but it's so aggressive and it's vicious. You know, it can look that way because you're breaking stuff, you know. People think that Taekwondo is a weak art. It's a devastating art because it's the art of the hand and foot. It's the hand and foot way. And I'm not talking necessarily about the Olympic style sparring. That's the sport. But you got regular kickboxing, which Taekwondo is implemented into, or kickboxing is implemented in that. And those things are used in from those techniques. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm glad I could ask about that because I actually know someone that I think is a BJJ black belt, and he trains in Hapkido more so recently, and I think he used to. And I'm interested in visiting gyms. Even if I don't do it, it'd be nice to at least watch it, kind of get a better look at it. So I got to ask you about your wrestling career. When did you get started? How long have you been working?
I've been in the wrestling business since 1995. So I started training in 1994.
Wow.
So I've actually been training and then graduated from the Ken Spence School of Professional Wrestling around 95, and I think that's when I made my first pro debut. And I've wrestled up and down the East Coast, and, you know, in Tennessee and North Carolina, and also in Florida, Georgia, places like that. And had some really, really, really great matches and a great time. However, a lot of the matches, you know, and it also depends on the promoter and how information is put out there, because it looks like a really big gap, which it is. But on WrestleCage, I have a lot of I have more matches than WrestleCage actually, you know, the database has given me. It's a lot,
right.
You know, and not everything has been listed. And I can understand, you know, information could be missed. But I've held the ACW title, the ACW United States title, that is. And I believe I was the longest reigning ACW United States champion. Also held the ACW United States television title. I held the NDW United States title and the IWA United States title. And also I held the U.S. IWS heavyweight title. So I've had a lot of titles under my belt, if you will. So. I'm going for some more. Going for more, yeah. And the goal is to continue wrestling, you know, in the best talented companies, independent companies, and also I want to, you know, and I really wanted to give it to WWE, and or Ring of Honor, or AEW, or NXT. I want to be able to get an opportunity to showcase my skill set there too, in those places.
That's cool. How do you think you mentioned Georgia? Sinister, I believe, our co-host, has worked there a lot. But I wanted to ask you, how do you think Virginia wrestling's changed over the years? Because I don't know how long you've been working in Virginia or how long you took time off, but I wanted to ask you about Virginia wrestling.
Sure. I actually had I got licensed not too long ago, and because you got to have a license to wrestle in Virginia. And, my first pro debut, well, coming back, was with VCW. And I had a dark match there with Pedro Jesus. And from my understanding, I think that match was shown on, you know, streamed on YouTube last night, which surprised me. And so this was my first match in Virginia here. So not too long, very, you know, just now, you know, yesterday. Last night was a better fact, you know. But training and preparing for stuff. Right now I'm back, you know, changing the lifestyle, my eating habits, training, and working out and stuff. And this is a must-do, because I do want to make a statement here and also set an example here, you know, for all young wrestlers and just people in general. You know, I have a saying, stay in school to the kids. Stay in school, obey your parents, say no to drugs. And that's the thing where I always stand by. I stand by those things and all those things, you know. Prescription drugs, you know, should only be taken for, you know, ailments and things that if you're sick or something, you know, it's appropriate enough to see the doctor. And if you're written a prescription, of course you can take those things. But to abuse drugs of any kind is a no-no, because that's going to cause health problems in the long run. You want to stay in school,
right?
If you can, you can go to, you know, trade school, you go to college, you can do those things. You can always continue to study to show yourself approved, or, you know, honor your mom, mother, and father. You know, always give those, your mom and dad, respect and love and respect, because they're all based on, you know, all those three things are based on the Bible anyway. And so it's good to
I probably need to hear that more.
Right. Well, everybody, we're all learning. We're all a work in process. So don't, I don't want anybody out there to be discouraged.
Man,
you've
hit a dozen things. And I'm kind of going to ask Sinister to chime in because I don't too far where we can't recap here.
That's our co-host, Todd. Feel free to ask Todd.
Yeah, that's not the, I realize you don't know the voice. Thanks, Steve. check it out. So you talked about making sure when you stepped into wrestling, you went through and got trained and through a school. How much are, I feel like there's some gap because there's so much, let's call it ad hoc anymore. And I know that's important on the backside for going through the school. Sinister, jump in here because I know you know the importance of it.
You're talking about school or wrestling school or just school and
Well, the wrestling training, before we get to education, that's a whole other conversation.
Okay, awesome. Okay.
Which you brought up. I don't want us to skip that either because you hit a couple levels of that were awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, wrestling school is awesome because you're learning the in and out things of the business. But one of the most important things that I was very impressed with some of the wrestling schools is that you learn how to wrestle. You really learn, freestyle wrestling and Greco-Roman wrestling. So they train you as a, I'm still a kayfabe guy anyway. I'm just so, traditional and old school. But they always train you to be a baby, a champion. Knowing how to wrestle. Not anybody can fight. Anybody can throw a punch. And anybody can, strike, right? The question is, if I put you in a double wrist lock, can you counter that double wrist lock? If I put you in an arm twist, can you counter it? So drills and chain wrestling drills is very, very important. Of course, and also, learning how to counter and reverse those moves and also learning how to fall. Because you when you're in the ring, you better know what to do. If they put you in a hole, you better know what to do and how to get it. It's like a test, right, or a quiz. Get in there and you don't know how to get out of something, then that could cause problems. You can get hurt. The other person can get hurt, things like that. Knowing how to fall is very, very, very important, tucking your chin so that you won't knock yourself in the back of the head, right? And then the athleticism. So you learn these things during your training, and also you learn the psychology. Larry Zbyszko said, I never forget, he said, learning the moves is great, but it takes years and years to master the psychology, telling the story, things like that.
Yep.
Telling that story is very, very important, I got kicked in the face in the state championships in Taekwondo, okay. But then the people needed to know, I had to make a comeback, right? And when I took that shot in the head, the referee had to call me down and say, hey, take the stand and eight count, And then the coaches were like, calm down, take the stand and eight count. The stand and eight count was for me to get myself together, to give me time to get myself together so I can, get my head together and then boom. I didn't get knocked down, but I took a shot, and so that shot would snap my head back. So he was like, they jumped in there because Taekwondo and karate is a devastating sport. Right? Mm-hmm. So that, in a way, my performance, I needed to tell my story by making a comeback. Right? Same with in wrestling, you get yourself in a fix, a problem, you got to be able to get yourself out of that problem. And the crowd has an appreciation for that. So you learn these things in wrestling school. You learn these things in wrestling school, and they teach you those things in wrestling school. And the terminology. and you know, and in certain words and things. So that's very important. So that part of the wrestling school is awesome. It's expensive, but it's worth it when you go to a very good school with a person that knows how to teach, right, and knows how to train. Not everybody that's great at what they do knows how to coach or train or teach, which is
right,
that's another story, too.
If I may, what school was it, or is your trainer still training today?
He's retired. Ken Spence School of Professional Wrestling. That was the old IWA, and turned into the NDW, right? But these things are, you know, out of business. They fold.
Right. What state was that?
That was in North Carolina. That was in Winston-Salem, North
okay.
Carolina. Right. Then you got Dory Funk, Funking Conservatory. Now, and I said Funking. Now, watch out. We ain't saying the other thing. We saying Funking. F-U-N-K-I-N-G. Right?
Right.
Funking Conservatory. So that is that is a school. Uh-huh.
You went there, too?
Oh, I went there, yes. And it was expensive. But it was worth it. Dory got in there at his age and took bumps. And was given drills with a, you know, the wild chain wrestling, you know, shoulder tackles. He's giving shoulder tackles to everybody. Off the rope.
Wow.
From rope to rope series, boom, shoulder tackles. Because Dory, just like I was a football player, an athlete, a true athlete. Just like the Ghanaians and the Von Erichs, believe it or not. And Terry Funk, Dory Funk played in the Cotton Bowl back in the day. You know, yeah, I think he was playing. I can't remember. I can, correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Texas A&M, possibly. But he was playing for one of those colleges out. And I could be wrong about. I can't remember the school, but yeah, he was in the Cotton Bowl back in his time. Yeah. So
I didn't.
School. So two schools. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to that you trained at Dory. That's pretty big. He trained a lot of wrestlers and probably a lot I'm not aware of. But did he stretch guys at all? I figured Dory is the type of guy that could do that if he wanted to, but he's not going to be Stu Hart. You know?
Did he what now?
Did he show how to work holds or stretch people? He seems like a guy that knows how to stretch people.
Oh, absolutely. Just like Stu did, yeah, he did that. Yeah, he stretched
people. Okay,
you.
Okay.
Yep. Dory is just like Stu. Stu was an athlete, too. So, I mean, these guys, you know about, a little bit about combat sports and a lot about it. And, you know, football, you know, wrestling. The Ghanaians, y'all remember the Ghanaians? That's a little bit before y'all's time. Vern and Greg.
AWA.
I think, yeah, AWA. I think Vern actually went to, one of the brothers was on the Olympic team. And also the Iron Sheik. He was on the Olympic team for Iran.
Right.
And then you got Bad News Brown, who was on the national judo team. I think he was in the Olympics for judo. You see.
Nice.
So these, yeah, and he was Bad News Allen also. So, I mean, these guys are true, and Bob Backlund, Division II national champion. No, yeah. Brock Lesnar, All-American in wrestling, you see. So these are good, not only, these are real athletes. Real athletes. So I have an appreciation for, you know, the business and some of the people in the business, you know, because a lot of the guys, they do. Mm-hmm.
I had the chance to meet Kurt Angle, and I was so starstruck at the time. I wish I asked him about grappling, if he had done other grappling besides the folk style.
That's another gentleman that was an Olympic champion. champion in wrestling. Do you know how hard that is? Because, you know, when you're skating.
And with his injuries, too.
You get a hold, you know, points are easily accumulated, especially if you got a person in a hole and what happens? They escape. They escape your hole, right, or come up from a possible pin, they didn't score a point. You know, on it. So yeah, it's that was quite a moment, you know, for Kurt Angle. You know, plus he's a Pennsylvania guy, so yeah.
I got a general question I ask a lot of guests: favorite wrestler of all time.
Wow, man, it's hard to.
You can name more than one.
Right. I mean, Bret Hart.
Okay.
You know, he's a technician, right? Let's go back a little bit. Let's Pedro Morales, Tony Garea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love Vern Gagne and Greg Gagne.
Vern was a shooter up until his elderly age too.
Right. Yeah. I love the British Bulldog. The British Bulldog.
Speaking of British Bulldogs, I know we're talking older wrestlers, but Davey Boy Smith Jr. was on earlier, and I was watching him versus the Killer Cross. That was the match I was most looking forward to, besides Fatu 2 Alexander. Jim Crockett Promotions is doing a show tonight, and I was looking forward to Cross versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. because it was like catch wrestling versus BJJ/judo. So I was like, man, I'm glad I'm seeing this. But I'm definitely glad I can get your favorite wrestler. So do you have any more that you wanted to mention? Sorry.
Oh yeah, I got plenty more. Believe it or not, Ric Flair. I mean, his microphone personality was, incredible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a great guy. I mean, I listened to some stuff with, some stuff when his son had passed away. And that just put me in tears, man. That really, really put me in tears, you know. So Ric Flair has a heart, and he has a heart for the business. Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kid. I love Hercules and Zeus. Hercules, not Zeus, but Hercules and Pretty Paul Roma.
We've actually interviewed Paul Roma before.
Absolutely. Fantastic wrestlers, not to mention Ricky and Robert. Love Ricky and Robert. I'm going to tell you something about Ricky and Robert. Those are the nicest guys in the business, the nicest guys. You know, really, they really try to mentor and put you under their wing, right? Take you under their wing, talk to you and explain things to you, tell you what you need to work on, what you not need to work on. Just fantastic guys, man. I mean, absolutely.
Definitely glad we heard those names. I'm sure this group is a big fan of most of those names, and got the chance to meet Ricky Robert. Since we're halfway into the show, I wanted to get John to possibly do an ad break or mention his plugs. Dr. John.
That's exactly right. We want to thank WLSCAM&FM, Loris Conway, Myrtle Beach, the home of Banana Jack in the morning, and Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle, 10 a.m. until noon every day during the week. And Dr. John, that's me. I'm there with the paranormal update on Friday morning at 11:30. So we certainly appreciate being on Banana Jack's station and being with him and all of his crew. So it's a lot of fun. And thanks very much. And, of course, we are sponsored by the one, the only, Transamerica. Great life insurance company. So give me a call if you need any life insurance. 843-655-8775. Now, Steve, back to you. And I got to say, before I turn it back over to you, I am so thrilled that our guest mentioned Ric Flair in that group of his favorites, because, sir, that he has been one of my favorites ever since I first saw him when I was a kid, and he is just,
yeah,
in my humble opinion, he might be the greatest entertainer of all across all.
Oh,
you know, he might be the, well, truly, I think he's the greatest entertainer since 1957 when Gorgeous George retired. And,
right.
And, I mean, you know, Gorgeous George, without a doubt, there was nobody like him. And since then, there's been nobody like the one, the only, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. So thanks a lot. You won my heart right there, buddy. Go Ric Flair.
I appreciate it.
I got to be the heel in this. I'm rooting for Lethal and Jarrett. I got to say.
Oh, nice.
You just root for them all you want. We're going to root for the best, for the greatest.
Well,
Jarrett is a nice guy, too.
Some stuff. Steve, you've seen I've dropped a ton of stuff in the chat on here on this because,
sure,
look, you have hit us with so much stuff tonight. I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to say sometime in the future I'm going to ask you right now, do you want to come back? Because everything you've touched in the half hour, we could do probably about 3 hours on. Would you be willing to come back and hang out with us in the
absolutely
future?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're going to keep asking questions, but I definitely am glad Todd asked because, yeah, we'd love to have you on again.
You ain't off the hook today by any means. I just wanted to make sure that we could have some follow-ups. I was grabbing that up front. Heck, yeah. I did. I wasn't even playing. All right. You talked about a bunch of different things. There's so much I want to touch on. You talked about what you were learning when you were in the wrestling schools, about the basics of storytelling, how to take the falls, if you will, which means you were learning how to help other folks to take falls. So there's all the safety stuff in there, and that's its own conversation, right?
Right.
But what I want to make sure I don't miss is what you talked about education. Not only what you've done, and I want to come back and highlight, did you not say you got your doctorate?
Yes, sir. I got my doctorate. As a matter of fact, I have a bachelor's degree in architectural engineering with the concentration of structural analysis. I also have another bachelor's degree in pure mathematics. I have a master's of science degree in applied mathematics, and I have a doctorate degree in education.
All right, dude. Just for the record, I'm a lowest common denominator guy, so don't expect much from me. But Dr. John is a legit doctor as well. So I want to talk while you're sitting here referencing this higher education and talking mathematics, good Lord. You threw out a phrase that is almost dirty language anymore, trade school.
Yeah, I mean, because here's the thing. God bless America because it's the land of opportunity, right? Now it's much less challenging to get into college. You know, it was very challenging, mm-hmm. Still challenging to get into college. Some people may not be able to afford to go to the university or the four-year college. However, trade schools also are very, very good schools as well if people are struggling with the cognitive ability to go further, higher. There are trade schools, brother, let me tell you. Mechanics, you know, working on cars, plumbing,
heating and cooling, electricians.
Brother, I'm going to tell you, those trades are very, very good. You'll never be walking, and you always have a job, you see, right? So, I mean, but it still requires some mathematics involved, because when you're talking about revs per minute, right, revs per minute, you know, for these alternators or these engines to rev, that's a lot of, that's some trigonometry there also as well. You know, trigonometry, dealing with sine and cosine and tangent and things like that, the unit circle, all those things. I also teach calculus in this course called differential equations. So, I mean, and I teach those classes to engineers, and I teach those classes to all scientists as well. I also teach mathematics to non-STEM majors, which is those folks that are not into the sciences per se, people that are into maybe mass communication, journalism, things that are not dealing with the technical side. I can teach statistics. I can teach, you know, basic algebra. Or
college algebra. Statistics, that's a whole other story. Oh, my God, we can pick our poisons with that one to tell our story.
Actually, I wish I could get our guest in a room with Tony Khan, because Tony Khan's a statistician, a stats mathematician himself. I'd like to see that as morbid curiosity.
Dude, I got to ask you, sooner or later, I think I kind of have a reasonable understanding of the Drake equation. It's, in a way, it's kind of fairly logical in the sense that you're just going down to the possibilities as reduced as you go to get to the effective odds almost. But, oh, yeah, that's hot, dude. Thank you for giving some love to trade schools. Thank you very much.
Yes, and it's a must. It's definitely a must, because what else can you use? What else can you have, and what else can you use if you can't do anything to take care of yourself or take a wrench and tighten something up? There's problems. You see what I'm saying? So it's always a good thing to learn a trade. You see what I'm saying? And I mean, it's a great thing to do. It's a great thing to do. It's an awesome thing to do. So I appreciate it. I can appreciate trade school.
Did you have any more questions, sir?
I'm going to try to behave, and just because we suckered, I'm sorry, talked them into coming back again. I'm going to try to hold off for now. It's all yours, Steve.
All right. I definitely want to get Sinister, if he's been listening in. I definitely want to get his thoughts or questions in, because Sinister is a very experienced martial artist and pro wrestler himself, so I'd like to see if he has any questions for our guest, Mr. Excellent.
Sure.
Sinister? John, do we have Sinister on the line?
I am trying to find.
Yeah, right. Did we lose your brother? Sorry about that. If we
Let me see. You know, sometimes this technology is just a little crazy, so it's being a little slow to refresh you. And I'll see if Sinister's coming back.
I'll definitely have some more. I have some more questions too while we wait.
We're gonna hit you up, Steve, until we.
Mr. Excellent.
Yes,
who is your favorite opponent of all time, and maybe toughest opponent of all time?
I have to say, Ricky Morton was one of my greatest opponents. I learned a lot, you know, and I wrestled him in the hometown of Kingsport, Tennessee. So that was interesting.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, right. And Chris Mantell and Pat Friday, those were very tough opponents. because I wrestled both the one in NDW, Chris Mantell, or Chris Maverick, was part of the tag, one half of the tag team combination of the Mavericks, right? And he was a very good opponent, a very notable champion, taking one of the belts from him, Texas United States, NDW United States title. We feuded a lot, and it was a great feud. Also, Pat Friday in ACW Championship Wrestling. We feuded for the ACW United States title. And there's one other. Rick Link, kind of a mouthful mentioning his name. Rick Link is an interesting individual. Wrestled against him for the Brass Knuckles title, you know. The Beastmaster, if you will. So we bumped heads a couple times there also as well. Yeah. So those are very tough opponents. But the greatest opponent I have to say is Ricky Morton, because even though it wasn't a long match, you know, being in there with I forgot. Bobby Fulton on the Power Zone. Y'all know who Bobby Fulton
okay.
is?
Okay, really?
Absolutely.
Actually, you can pull that up on YouTube. That match is on YouTube. It's on the Power Zone, the Power Zone. That was a television taping in Thomasville, North Carolina, and we wrestled, we had a good match.
Man.
A heck of a resume.
This group is mostly Carolina guys, so we're definitely glad to hear that.
Right. And also I wrestled a tag now. It was me, the Assassin, and Bone Crusher. We wrestled against the Russians, Ivan Koloff, Vladimir Koloff, and Nikita Koloff.
Whoa.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Good Lord.
Oh.
Yep. We've interacted with Ivan, I believe. And
I'm just laughing. I said, oh, I'll slide that one in as an oh, by the way. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a North Wilkesboro, back in, I think, the late 90s or so. And it was in another organization. I believe it was ACW.
Wow.
So that was interesting. Very, very interesting. So none of the matches were basically easy. Like I said, two of the greatest matches, these two Hall of Famers. But, you know, the match that I had last night at VCW, that guy was really tough and very good, too.
Was that in Norfolk?
That was in Norfolk, yeah.
That's what you said made it to YouTube.
Did it make it to YouTube yet?
Are you talking about the Bobby Fulton match or the VCW match?
The VCW match, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think it is, but I'll check later and see if it does go up.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if it got there yet.
Steve, this is Dr. John. I've got a quick question for you because we're all on the edge of our seats. How did Ricky Morton and his son do against Arn Anderson's son and Brian Pillman Jr.?
Well, John, that was happening during the show, so I'm going to look up the result right now.
Okay.
I apologize. I was kind of distracted with the show, but I'll definitely look that up right now.
Let's see here.
I don't see the results yet, but when I do, I'll let you know.
Okay, that sounds good. And, of course, we got the greatest wrestling match in history is yet to come. So, anyway, back to you, Steve, and our guest. Thank you very much. Just checking on everything.
Pure excellence.
Awesome.
Yeah. I gotta ask Mr. Excellent, or actually, I got a comment. I actually met Ivan Koloff years ago at a convention called WrestleCade, and that was super cool because Ivan was so old school. You know, he was like the first guy to beat Bruno for the title, so getting a look at that old WWF title was pretty cool. Not only that, but Ivan was in the first coffin match, I believe, before there was casket matches. Dusty Rhodes had that first ever one. And I grew up an Undertaker fan, so getting to meet the first wrestler to be in a coffin match is pretty cool.
I want to make one quick comment too. I just want to give, you know, kudos and, you know, basically a shout out to all the people, all the parents in Uvalde, Texas, Chicago, and all the places that had the mass shootings. As you know, as being a guest on this radio station, I want us all to be praying for those families. And we just want to acknowledge that all those families are being prayed for and that we're supporting those families. Even as professional.
Most stuff, brother. Most stuff.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
I'm just going to transition here. Obviously agree with what you were saying. But I wanted to reply back to Dr. John. I read on Bleacher Report just now that Anderson and Pillman Jr. defeated the Mortons. So that makes, I think that's fitting, given it's Ric Flair's final match card and the Four Horsemen got the win. But definitely cool to see Ricky Morton still wrestling even today in this kind of home stretch of his career.
Yeah, and picking up the tie-in.
And I got to say this. Tonight we've talked about the great Ivan Koloff. We've talked about the great Ricky Morton and the great Ric Flair. And, you know, these gentlemen will never die in our hearts. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Oh, let's not forget about the Macho Man, Randy Savage, who was very, very good and had awesome microphone personality. He was also a total package on that, too.
Yes, yeah, probably one of the most iconic ever.
Yeah.
I never got the chance to see him, but I met his opponent, Jake Roberts, a couple of times, and it's always fun hearing Macho Man stories from him. Go ahead, John.
And I'll tell you what, when you talk about microphone personality, you cannot forget, and a lot of people do forget him, the man from near Withville, Virginia, the one, the only Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant, could tear an audience up with his promos. He was, without a doubt, one of the greatest in history. And just, you know, what more can you say about Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant? You know, very few sports have had the great personalities that wrestling has. You know, they just haven't. You know, in football, you got too many there are too many linebackers. There are too many tackles and guards. You know, in wrestling, we have had truly the greatest of the greatest, and we're all blessed that we love a sport that makes us so happy when we think of these names.
Okay, guys, I'm going to throw something out, and you can tell me if I'm way out of line here. There were music. We've had some extreme talents, whether it was band directors, thinking Jimmy Dorsey, things like that, whether it was individual musicians, vocalists and stuff, I kind of had the thought that Ric Flair was to wrestling what Elvis Presley was to music. Am I that far off base with that thought process?
No, you're not.
He did his job well because before I knew about the business, I couldn't stand him, you know. because he did the job correctly, you see.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, he did the job correctly, you know, and you know, and it's just, we know, even in Greensboro that time, I remember when the Road Warriors and also the Russians, right, and had the match, and I came out of there so mad, you know, and the guy was like saying, you know, well, it's this, it's that. I was like, no, it's not, and I'm very offended by you saying that. This is what I was telling the guy, that is, but they did their job so well, and the kid is a great guy. The kid is a Christian man, you know, a great guy, fantastic. And he became, you know, a baby face later on, too, at the same time. But, man, they used to make us mad just because that was what they were supposed to do. That was the job, you know. That was the job.
I think,
so,
I don't want to interrupt you, but I think John would also agree that Gorgeous George could be that guy that was kind of the Elvis of wrestling. And that,
oh yeah, for sure. Because
it's a more closer timeline, and also just that he was like the first, one of the first villains in wrestling besides Freddie Blassie.
Oh yeah, Freddie Blassie was woo. Man, I remember on Saturday.
My point was about how iconic the influence was.
Oh sure.
Oh, yep.
Yeah,
guys, I hate to say this. Man, we only got 8 minutes and change. This is horrible. This is why I preemptively asked, dude, strictly speaking, this has been an excellent show having you on here. Why I asked you back early. Just saying.
Yeah, we'd love to have you come back on, too, but I got another question. Favorite Japanese wrestler?
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Okay, ain't going to argue. I can't find anything wrong with that pick.
Yeah, he's pretty iconic from that nation, yeah.
Jushin Thunder Liger, yep. Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, he was definitely an innovator and I think one of the first guys to do the shooting star press, and his mask is so iconic. I've seen tattoos of it. I've seen cosplayers at wrestling shows dressed up as him. So, watched some of his later years in New Japan and remember seeing his tag team match, his retirement match. So I think his match with Minoru Suzuki was one of my favorite Suzuki matches. Suzuki's one of my favorite New Japan wrestlers, so I was definitely glad to see those two had another
you
match.
Remember,
before,
you remember Hakushi? Remember Hakushi?
Oh, yeah. Hakushi, I think Hakushi's very underrated, and I liked his look with his body paint, too.
Well, those tattoos, I never got a chance to meet him yet, but were those tattoos or were those, you know, basically?
No, I believe that was body paint.
Okay.
Because I've seen him in other matches without it, but it does. It looks very convincing. It looks like a tattoo when you see it at first.
Yeah. He had all the writings on it. Yeah.
His match with Bret Hart was pretty great. I liked Hakushi and ECW with Hayabusa against RVD and Sabu. I think that's one of my favorite Hakushi matches was when he was Shinsaki. He also had a match with Undertaker, too, and Michinoku Pro, and that was pretty cool because my dream match would have been Great Muta versus Undertaker, and we never got it, so we got Hakushi versus Undertaker that 90s period, so that was pretty cool. We're running out of time, so I definitely want to get your plugs. How can we find you on social media, or how can promoters find you and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm on social media as Dan Excellent, and you can always you know, messes me on the or friendly, and I'll, you know, request a friendship. And also, I'll be wrestling in VCW, hopefully in Classic Pro Wrestling as well. But I'll have some matches possibly this month in Tennessee with Total Wrestling Explosion. So, yeah, so just keep an eye out on that, if you will, and just keep an eye on the Facebook. And of course, you have my phone number, too, so you can always call me.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm definitely glad to hear that, and you're still working. And I want to get your thoughts on George Pontus. I'm interested in picking his brain. I've reached out to him, and I've met him at VCW shows in the past. I haven't been able to go to a lot of VCW shows recently, but I've met him in person, and he's pretty nice and very. He's, you know, he's a teacher himself, so I can't wait to pick his brain at some point whenever he's not busy. He actually donated some of the footage of Ric Flair versus Buddy Rogers to the Flair's last match build-up video. So, any thoughts on George Pontus?
Great guy, great person, very knowledgeable, and that is a good person that you would want to talk to. Very good. Very good guy.
A lesser known wrestling archivist, but definitely has been acknowledged in press before. Definitely glad to hear your story, and we'll definitely have to get you on again because I'd love
to
get Sinister to pick your brain at some point too. We can get him on, but
glad
Todd was able to get some questions. And John, did you have any comments or questions before we wrap up?
I will say tonight is a momentous night, number one, for wrestling and for all that. And I want to say we sometimes do not think of one particular man as a Japanese wrestler who was truly one of the greatest wrestlers of all time in the United States with the NWA. And he took a little boy, not a very little boy, named Terry, who came into his wrestling school and said, "I'm really good." And he immediately broke his leg, said, "You'll come back when you're polite to me." And that man, Terry, was, of course, Hulk Hogan. And that teacher was the great Hiro Matsuda, who was truly one of the greatest wrestlers. And he was unbelievable. And,
I remember that story.
And don't forget Antonio Inoki.
But I just, you see, Hiro Matsuda wrestled so much in the Carolinas. I got to see him in the Missouri Mauler, who was highly underrated. He was a mean dude, and I'll never forget. Anyway, I got great memories. Sometime on PWI, we'll have to have memories of professional wrestling. But listen, thank you so much for being with us. You've been absolutely a stellar guest. And like Todd, and like Steve, buddy, we want you back. Back to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Please have me back. It'll be an honor to be a guest on your show again. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And as many times as you want me to come, I'll be there.
Nice.
Yes.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
So, John, Todd just reminded us, Amazing Velvet, happy anniversary. Just wanted to get that out there. He's our usual host, but he was having some personal time with the spouse. So, Todd.
Yeah, happy anniversary, brother.
Happy anniversary.
Thanks, Todd.
And just remember, Amazing Velvet, you're our hero. So thanks a lot for helping get this started. This is Dr. John Stamey saying we'll see you next week. Same bat time. So actually, we'll be back at 7:30. I had to be out of town, so I had to change the time just a little bit, but hope that was okay. We'll see everybody next week on PWI Pro Wrestling Interviews and on July the 31st, 2022, the biggest night in all of wrestling. Good luck, Ric Flair. Todd, what do you have to say to Ric?
Woo!
That's great. All right, Steve, what do you have to say to Ric?
I say, you're gonna probably
all
gonna
right.
need that to wipe the blood from his face, the crimson mask. That's what I say.
All right, well, that'll be the most watched match in history. I can guarantee you. Thanks a lot, everybody. We'll see you next week, 7:30 Eastern. Pro Wrestling Interviews. Thanks, everybody. Bye bye.
Say goodbye.
Bye bye. See ya. Bye bye.